Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 419 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is an Aftershock Monday episode. I'm going to be talking about the three books that come out this Wednesday, July 25th. First, I want to apologize. This episode's coming out a little bit late. San Diego Comic-Con was absolutely insane this year. Not necessarily from a content standpoint. I probably produced the same or maybe even less content than I have in the past, but last year was the first year I ever had like an industry meeting that I needed to attend with ways of broadening our reach. This year I had many, many of those meetings, and it's all exciting news. It's all, nothing for sure, but definitely a foot in the door at some places to extend our reach and be able to bring you more content, more access, things like that. But that all takes time, right? It all takes time away from actually producing the content for you. And, we're pretty much a one-man show here at the Comic Source. So there's only so many hours in the day and so much energy can be expended. So I appreciate everybody's support and everybody's understanding that these episodes are a little bit late. I did try to get a lot of the content produced ahead of time from the show. And I also thought there'd be a little more content that I could produce at the show. It just didn't work out that way. So again, I really appreciate everybody's understanding. And I think next year I'll be sure to have like all the content for a whole week, like the Wednesday of preview night all the way through the following Wednesday, have all that content produced ahead of time so that you'll be sure and have your Comic Source daily episode out. And then if I'm able to produce content at the show, which we did release a few episodes, but just, we didn't have an Aftershock Monday ready to go. We didn't get the Hunt for Wolverine spotlight done in time. And we didn't actually release an episode on Friday, which, we didn't have anything scheduled, but I would have liked to have brought you something, right? Apologies and thanks for understanding, everybody. I think that the fact that we're putting out like 9-10 episodes a week, you can understand if we miss one here or there. So on to the books from Aftershock this week. As I mentioned, there's three really, really good ones. I'm going to start with Brothers Dracul, written by Cullen Bunn, with art by Mirko Kolak, colors by Maria Santa Olalla, and letters by Simon Boland. I can't remember. Let me see if I can look it up real quick. I can't remember how many issues Brothers Dracul is supposed to be, but I really feel like this is the issue where it's really kind of raises the bar. We're really starting to see Vlad Tepes kind of become the Vlad that we know, not Dracula, but Vlad the Impaler. This is kind of like his origin, where we really start to see him. I don't want to say like go around the bend or lose his mind, but we're definitely seeing him kind of come into his own as this kind of ruthless person, basically, that's full of anger and rage and kind of the beginning of his rise to power. And I have a feeling something's going to happen to his brother, Radu, in this series that really finally pushes him over the edge, because Radu seems to be the one that can kind of keep him in check, so to speak. But this issue was great. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. Super bloody and gory. And for my money, Cullen Bunn can tell these kind of stories all day long, right? Like, we know he's been on the show before. We've talked to him about it. We know he's a fan of history. He doesn't feel beholden to it, though. He can take the things that he likes about a particular era and kind of incorporate those into the story, and things that don't necessarily fit his narrative and kind of throw them to the side. But it does give the story a sense of authenticity by setting it, using real characters from history and setting it in certain time periods. It just adds such great flavor to the story. So as far as the action, spectacular, man. A lot of vampire fights in this one. A lot of really, really cool moments. And as I said, we we really are starting to see into the kind of the dark heart, is how we'll describe it, of Vlad Tepes. So can't wait for issue 5. Really, really can't wait. I wouldn't mind a little more insight into Radu. I know we've gotten a little bit as the story goes on, but I feel like this issue really kind of focused on Vlad, and maybe it needed to after what happened at the end of last issue. But yeah, incredible issue, and art by Mirko Kolak, amazing as always. He does such a great job of conveying expression in the human face. And I also love his layouts within the panel. And that, all that being said, like, you know, he draws, the rendering on his faces is done really well, a lot of emotion, whatever. And then he'll turn around and draw like crazy, bloody, scary looking vampires, and, you know, with their heads on spikes and cool weaponry and battle scenes with so many different characters in them, but it's never muddy, right? It's never confusing. And Maria Santa Olalla, great job on the colors. A lot of blood in this one. There's a lot of purples and blues, some yellows during daylight hours, but that it's always that red that draws your eye, right? Just the way she renders the blood is very effective. So far and away the best issue of the series so far. Really, really enjoyed it. So kudos to everybody involved in that one. And up next, I'll be talking about another pretty bloody book, kind of similar to Brothers Jackal number 4, in that so this one's really pushing the story forward here. It's Pestilence, A Story of Satan by Frank Thierry and Oleg Okunev, with colors by Rob Schweiger and letters by Marshall Dillon. So we know that the whole premise of these pestilence books from Frank Thierry is the Black Plague in Europe wasn't actually the bubonic plague, the Black Death. It was actually a zombie infestation. And our group of heroes in the first volume, members of the Fiat Lux, managed to supposedly stop the spread of zombies. And what we find out in the second volume is that Satan himself is actually behind it, and he has come to Earth and taken over the body of the Pope. And I don't know if it's necessarily just him imbuing these zombies, these eaters, as they're called in the book, with some of his power, or just the fact that he's in proximity with them, or that they're just evolving, but they're a lot smarter now. They can communicate, they can talk, they can speak. And in this issue, as I said, just like in Brothers Dracul, we get a couple surprises, and we see that Satan is really kind of one step ahead of where everybody else is at. He lures the remaining members of Fiat Lux into a trap that they're lucky to escape from, and where they go from here is anybody's guess, because what they were led to believe was they could get to a certain church. There were religious artifacts there that would help them defeat Satan, but really that was all just a ruse to get them there underground so they could kill them. So and then at the end of the issue, we meet a few other people who may or may not be, they don't seem to necessarily be allies at all of Fiat Lux, but they also don't seem to be aware of what's transpiring on the mainland, because when we meet them, they're on a ship out at sea. So it's going to be interesting to find out what happens with that. But next issue, Satan himself teases that we're going to find out the true purpose of the Black Plague after all. So next issue should ramp the story up even more. But this was my, just like Brothers Dracul was my favorite issue of that series, number 4 was my favorite of that series so far. Pestilence Story of Satan, the issue 3, is far and away my favorite. just had so many different narratives, so many different characters all weaving in and out to tell a really, really great story. And man, Oleg Okunev, he can draw himself some creepy zombies. I don't know. I just like his style. His style is not the cleanest. And like typically, I don't know that I would go for this kind of art, but it suits the style and the tone of the story so perfectly. I really can't think of anybody else who should be drawing it. And so kind of similar, you know, these books are very similar, Dracul and Pestilence. And as much as they're kind of horror, historical horror, and their color palettes are so different, so unique, and yet they both work so well. So kudos to Rob Schweiger for that. All right, the last book I'm going to talk about from Aftershock, I just realized, is another horror book. This one is not the best issue of this series so far. I think that's still reserved for issue one, but it's this is issue three of A Walk Through Hell from Garth Ennis, with art by Goran Sudzuka, colors by Eve Zvorchina, and letters by Rob Steen. I can't possibly do justice to the first couple issues of this series because it's been so wild and crazy. And Ennis isn't necessarily telling a straightforward narrative. It kind of jumps around, and there's so much yet to be revealed. And I don't just mean the mystery of what's going on in this warehouse in Long Beach where our two FBI agents are trapped. There's also the other story, like the impetus of what's happening and the case that these FBI agents mentioned, like basically the first time we saw them. We don't know all the history of that case yet. Ennis has been revealing it slowly through flashback. So I have a feeling that this is going to be one of those books where once I have all the information, I'm going to be able to go back and read it again, and it's going to make more sense, and it's going to be like very, very enjoyable. Likewise, I guess if you're waiting to pick it up in trade and get the story all at once, you'll probably kind of have the same reaction as I do. That's not to say that you can't kind of get the gist of what's going on, but I find myself trying to like put it back together in my head to try to understand what's going on. But I don't necessarily trust Guinness, right? Like he may pull a left turn or a right turn on me, like just as I think I understand what's going on. So maybe kind of like Morning Glories in a way. I remember when I was reading that book, it was like every time a new issue would come out, I'd go back and read, like I'd read the new issue and then I would go back and read all the previous issues, starting with issue one, all the way up and go through the current issue. Just because there's so much there, little things that you don't pick up on until you have the context from reading more of the story, you know, later down the line. So I could definitely see this book kind of being like that. I think it's definitely a book that would benefit from me giving it a reread. As far as the art by Goran Sudzuka, man, you want to talk about creepy and moody. His use of shadow and of very subtle facial expressions really helps to sell the tone of the book, kind of the mood of the book. And in a way, there's not a lot of action. This book is it's all psychological. It's very much kind of a talking heads book, you know. We don't get any action to speak of. So it takes a very talented writer to make that work and make that interesting, because it's pretty easy to get bored, basically, just from seeing all the scenes and the dialogue. But man, yeah, this one is super – super creepy for sure. So maybe my favorite Aftershock title that's coming out currently, maybe A Walk Through Hell. I don't know. It might be Relay, but I think I need one more issue of Relay to kind of understand what's going on there before I can make my pick. But, all right. I also wanted to mention that, I got to read Hot Lunch number one. We're still a couple of weeks away from that coming out. It comes out on the 8th of August. So I know Final Order Cutoff has already come and gone, but that's not to say you can't let your retailer know that you want it. You may still be able to get one delivered on the Wednesday it comes out, put it in your pull box. It you know, I had Elliot Rahal on the show and talked to him, and I even doing that, I had a kind of a certain idea or feel of how the book was going to come across, but it came across as, you know, just because I know Elliot to be such a fun guy, right? Like he writes Quantum and Woody, loves to joke around. He's kind of zany. And so I was expecting the book to be a little more lighthearted. It's not at all. It's totally hard-boiled crime, family, drama. It was so good. It was so, so good. I definitely recommend it. And it may be one that flies under the radar that not a lot of people pay attention to. And I think when you start talking about these Aftershock titles, especially with so many of them getting optioned recently, yeah, you may want to pay a little more attention, especially to the number ones. Because not only are you going to get a great story, but you know, it can be a pretty good return on your investment. And Hot Lunch Special doesn't seem to be any different than any of the rest. I think it will make a really great TV show. So definitely don't sleep on it and let your retailer know that you want a copy. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of Aftershock Monday. I should also mention that hopefully we're going to be having an interview with Donnie Cates coming up pretty soon to talk about Baby Teeth. I did see him at San Diego Comic-Con and discuss having him come on, and it's something he's definitely interested in. So look for that interview coming up sooner than later. So as always, I want to thank everyone for joining us. Please tell your friends about us, subscribe and rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help us with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially those 5-star reviews on iTunes. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram, and follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. Now that San Diego Comic-Con is officially over, I think my next show coming up will be Palm Springs Comic-Con. So if you're in Southern California, you're going to be attending that show, be sure and hit me up on social media, Twitter, or whatever. So I'll be sure to bring you a lanyard. All right, I think that's going to do it. So once again, I want to thank everyone for joining, and we'll talk to you next time.